And this is the KWPC 2020 Sheriff's Candidates Forum. It's brought to you by Muscatine County Farm Bureau. It's been a very interesting discussion so far. Gentlemen, I wanted to ask you a couple of final questions here, if I could. Kenny Hora, I'll start with you. What do you think about the drug situation in Muscatine? Is there meth here? Is there cocaine? Things like that.
You know, as you mentioned earlier, I was here a couple of days ago with you doing a commercial, and we had this discussion, and it's a very good question you bring up. Is, as being an investigator for the county, I had the privilege of assisting a lot of our victims in general crimes, such as thefts and burglaries. And one thing that is pretty common in those crimes is typically drug use. Usually it's somebody you know or associated with, or somebody that's been to your residence or, you know, structure where you've had things, you know, whether it's an outbuilding or whatever, and is aware of the kind of property you have. And typically they'll come in, and obviously it's a crime of opportunity. They'll take stuff, and they'll go and fence it somewhere, whether it's a pawn shop or, you know, another user or dealer. And so with the drug usage in our county, I do believe we still have a prevalent problem here in our county. I really think that's a nationwide issue as well. It's not just here. So it's one that we can obviously use more enforcement with, but currently with the COVID, it's kind of limited our task force on being able to partake in actually some good operations right now, which is sad because there's a great group of guys over there that do some good work. So as far as with the drugs, we do, you know, I'm aware that we do have meth in the community, in our counties especially, and it's very prevalent. You know, we'll occasionally get cocaine or marijuana off some people around the area. And then
how do you tell if somebody is on meth? I mean, what's a good indicator?
You know, you have to look at the totality of things. You know, we've all seen those wonderful photos when you look at jail booking photos over 10 years where
yeah.
a person actually looks really nice, and then all of a sudden 10 years later their face is sunk in, teeth are missing, and they got scabs all over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's tall tale signs like that. But obviously as investigators, as well as our deputies and police officers, we all have training, and you kind of over time develop from experience, you know, your suspicions based on your interactions with these individuals. So you're able to better gauge your contact to know whether or not somebody that you're in contact with has or is under the influence, you know, of certain drugs.
All right, Captain, what do you think of the drug use here in Muscatine? Is it, would you say it's very prevalent? And I guess all of you can answer, too, what about alcohol and alcoholism? Does that lead to a lot of crimes and getting arrested and situations happening?
As far as the drug use, I mean, it's a local trend. It's a state trend. It's a national trend. It isn't anything.
Is it being? Is the meth being made here, or is it being brought up from down south or other countries? Or
so probably 15 years ago, we had the spike with home labs,
right.
Cold cook labs. We had the shake and bake labs and the back trunks of cars and whatnot. While we still have those, they're a lot less frequent than what they were years ago.
So what are some signs people can look for? Like what are the chemicals that are used to make meth?
It's a lot of stuff that you can get going out to Walmart. The shake and bake labs that have become more prevalent than the home labs. You can literally put in a 2-liter bottle, mix everything together, throw it in the trunk of your car, go drive around for a while, off gas it, throw it back in the trunk of the car, off gas it. It's relatively easily, the chemicals are easily sought out and easily made.
But what are some of the things that, like, parents could look for? Like, if little Johnny starts buying quantities of this, that, and the other thing, and keeping them in his room or in the basement, or what are the things that
right.
are used?
If you see little Johnny with a Rubbermaid tub full of Sudafed,
okay.
you might have a problem.
Okay.
The state has taken measures over the years to try to mitigate that, as far as you're only able to buy
you have to show your license and stuff to even buy. Yeah, because I have hay fever, and
Same here.
I can only buy so much.
Same here.
Sudafed D or whatever it's called.
Those purchases are able to be tracked.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said before, those labs, while now not non-existent, have gone way down. A lot of the for sale narcotics that are coming into the county are coming from out of state, out of country. A lot of the larger quantity narcotics are not originating here. They're coming from West Coast, southern border states, and being transported up here. So,
and we don't like to think about meth in our community, and a lot of people think that that went away years ago. Like you said, 15 years ago, people heard a lot of stories, and now it's kind of died down. And Mike, I'd ask you the same question. What do you see or hear about drug use in Muscatine? What are the prevalent drugs being used currently, would you say?
Well, I'm glad you asked this question, because I was on the drug task force for quite a few years. So I have a little bit of experience, actually quite a bit of experience, when it comes to the meth. When I was on there, we had a pretty good size bust of Mexican dope coming in. It was meth, meth, and we seized quite a bit of pounds,
mm-hmm.
Along with money. Most of the dope that we're having coming in today is from Mexico, is from other countries. They can ship it here, and it's a lot cheaper. So we're not seeing the labs that we saw back when I was on the task force. Some of the things parents can look for is obviously the chemicals, the pseudoephedrine, like Captain Reese said, hoses. But now with the shake and bake, they can do it in bottles and just shake it up. Cold packs is another thing to look for. Large amounts of currency. See, these are the things that I want to do with the town hall meetings, is educate parents, educate friends, educate relatives, so they can look for these and know what to look for. Well, going on to this, drug abuse also leads to mental health, and vice versa. One and one, they're together. I'm a huge proponent of getting a group of individuals, a coalition of doctors, attorneys, judges, medical professional, and the county attorney on board, and come up with a criteria and develop a drug court, a mental health court, and a vet court. One is going to save the taxpayers tons and tons of money than incarcerating these individuals. And possibly we can get rehabilitation with that. Housing an inmate is about $20,000 to $50,000 a year if they're housed a year. Drug court, comprehensive drug court, is between $2,500 and $5,000 per year. That's a substantial difference in what the taxpayers have to pay. Again, mental health. We need to do something not only locally, but because this is a federal problem, it's a state problem, it's a local problem. We need mental health, and we need a coalition of people to bang down the governor's door if we have to get funding for mental health. These people need it, and those are the people that we are arresting and dealing with on a daily basis. Drugs, mental health. And they're the ones committing the crimes, a lot of them.
And I would also go as far to say that, I don't know if you all three of you agree with this, but not having a job, poverty is a great motivator for crime.
Absolutely.
Do you all three agree with that?
Absolutely.
And when you don't have any money, you're more than likely to do something crazy to get money just to survive, or buy more drugs, or buy more alcohol. Do you guys see a lot of alcoholism and, like, alcohol causing fights and things of that nature? Or he got drunk and hit me, or she got drunk and hit me, or things like
that. Not only intox issues, driving while intoxicated issues leads into domestic issues at home.
And that surprises me that people in this day would still be driving drunk, even though that, I mean, what is it? It costs you like $11,000 if you get caught driving drunk for the whole thing.
Between
$10,000 to $15,000.
Depends on the attorney you hire, because some could be up to $20,000.
Yeah. Oh my!
Between attorneys' fees, court costs, any fine amounts, added insurance, you name it. Yeah, you're looking $10,000 to $15,000.
And I'll tell you what. That has changed. I'm going to be 60 years old in August, and when I was a kid, I remember people driving drunk, and it would go as far as maybe you would have a small wreck, and the police would just give you a ride home. Not too much was done back years ago, in the 60s and 70s even.
I remember an incident in, I believe it was Linn County. This would have been about the time that I first got into law enforcement, where they did exactly that. Took the gentleman home, dropped mm-hmm. him off, don't leave. Chose to get in his car after the officers had left. Ended up getting killed in an accident shortly thereafter. So, unfortunately, those days have passed.
Yeah. And the last question I have is, you know, we don't want to think about meth in our community, and we also don't want to think about prostitution or human trafficking. Mike, I'll throw that one to you first. Do you think that's something that happens still in our community, prostitution or human trafficking?
I think it's a nationwide problem. Again, it goes back to drug abuse, mental health. As I stated earlier, I conducted 5 undercover operations as the male undercover for human trafficking operations across this entire state.
Okay.
Actually led the operation that we had here in Muscatine. And we received a lot of arrests statewide. I mean, hundreds of arrests. Not only by the Johns, but of the females that were being trafficked.
Mm-hmm.
During those events, I'll give an example. I had a 15-year-old girl who was being trafficked by her mother and her sister. That needs to stop. We need more proactive and more stricter laws to prevent this from occurring. But it's happening nationwide. It's happening small communities, especially with the internet. They can get on this internet and call these girls to show up at their house, show up at a hotel,
sure,
and go to or wherever these girls are.
And it's easy money.
It's very profitable, but not for the girls.
Sure.
Well,
it gets back to, like you said, the mental health issue,
correct,
that they're going to go through, and then, you know, God forbid, diseases or, I mean, anything, breaking up families.
The trauma that's going to follow these girls for the rest of their lives.
Sure. Kenny, do you think there's a lot of that going on around here?
So, yes. In my experience, as far as being a detective with the sheriff's office, I've actually worked a few cases that were what started out as general crime cases, meaning, you know, I investigated one, for example, a home invasion. It was a burglary where they came into the house while people were home and actually stole a bunch of stuff, even including guns, out of that residence. And those offenders, through their interviews and stuff, you know, obviously don't want to admit that they were a part of it, but it was very evident that they were involved in drugs. Now, those offenders actually had girlfriends or significant others, and when I would go and follow up with them and interview them, what I kind of discovered was that their boyfriends were not as nice as they thought. They actually were prostituting them out as to go and get more drugs. So they would have their girlfriends essentially sleeping with their drug dealers in order to get a return for the profit there. But I think when we look at human trafficking, we're not only looking at, you know, the common stigma is prostitution. And it's much, much more than that. You know, the other thing we have to look at, too, is labor. We have the labor trafficking. You know, we have immigrants that are coming to this country undocumented, which, you know, that's an discussion on its own. But what we have is those unfortunate individuals get put into situations where they're not getting the same benefits as documented citizens are, mm-hmm. being that they're not getting minimum wage. You know, we can look at, for example, several years ago, the Attalissa Schoolhouse Boys, that situation itself, you know, where they're getting paid a wage, but all of a sudden, hey, the people where they're staying at are skimming off the top.
Right.
You know, so there's a vast things to look at when we're looking at human trafficking. I believe all of the above is actually present in our community, and that's based on my personal experience of being an investigator.
Captain Reese, we'll end up with you on that question.
All of those crimes, they do happen in Muscatine County. A lot of those crimes are tied to other issues, as Mike said a little bit ago, whether it be unemployment, mental health, drug abuse, really committing one crime to in the furtherance of another crime. So the human trafficking angle to further the drug abuse angle. Are those happening in Muscatine County? Absolutely. With the internet, it's made the human trafficking angle a lot easier. You know, almost a delivery service, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So those things do happen here. We investigate those cases as they come in, and hopefully come to a successful conclusion in court.
All right. Deputy Hora, Captain Reese, Deputy Shannon, I think we had a good talk here today, and I think we got a lot of good information out to the public, and I enjoyed our conversation here. Do you all agree?
Absolutely.
Yep.
All right. Well, good luck to you all. This has been the KWPC 2020 Sheriff's Candidates Forum, again brought to you by our sponsor, Muscatine County Farm Bureau, and we'd like to thank them again. And thank you for listening to KWPC. We are the voice of Muscatine.